All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 153. It is Tuesday, the 27th of September, year 2022. I feel like I have not done this in a while. I feel a little bit disheveled and frazzled. It's been a busy day. Been a busy few days on the homestead, so trying to relax and let's see if we can get this done. I sent an invite to Deborah. She should be here soon. But in the meantime, guys, we are a value for value production and we appreciate the donations that have been coming in. If you guys are getting any value out of the show, we would appreciate some value in return, whether you want to give us some time, talent, or treasure. Treasure preferred, but artwork, music, if you can't afford it, just tell people about it. Leave us reviews. We got a couple good one-star reviews lately. I think I know who they're from. So besides that, guys, we had some donations recently, and I'm prepared to name them off on this episode. So maybe I'll list them in the show notes and then call them out on the next show. So we appreciate it, guys. And other than that, yeah, I don't know where Deborah is. She should be here soon. But we got a fun show today, and it's been a wild couple days on the homestead. Here she is. Okay, she is muted. Let's ask Deborah to unmute. She's there. Are you there, Deborah? Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound fantastic. Welcome to the show. And how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Did you get caught up on your sleep?
Yeah, I'm a little bit rushed, a little bit frazzled. I was out in the shop doing some work. I should have come in earlier and prepared, but I haven't told the gang what went down a couple days ago. So I guess we'll do a full rundown.
Yeah.
So yesterday morning, I got up. I was going to be all, I've been sick. Emily and I have both been sick. I got like a real gnarly cold all last week. I was out. I was trying to do stuff, and it was just one of those ones where I had a real bad sore throat for a couple days, and I was really congested for a couple days, and my body felt okay, but my head was all weird. And then a couple days after that, I was pretty fatigued if I tried to get up and do anything. So I'm finally back, still a little bit stuffed up, coughing stuff up, and Emily's got it now too. So she's a couple days behind me. But yesterday I felt pretty good. I was going to go to Home Depot, return some stuff, run a bunch of errands. And I start pulling my truck out of the driveway. And we have two of our two mom sheeps penned in on the side of the driveway. And one of them was standing in the driveway. I went and looked, and the electrical netting was knocked down. I was like, oh no. So I got her back in. Got the fence all back up, and I was like, oh, I can't find Loretta. I don't know where she's at. And she'd gotten out a couple weeks ago, and she was in my neighbor's pasture. So I started driving that way, drove all the way down there, couldn't find her, drove down the road the other way, didn't see her. And I was like, well, maybe she's in the bushes or something, and I didn't see her in where she's supposed to be. So I pulled into the driveway, and I stopped right at the front of it and looked over. And I see her body just laying there. And I'm like, oh no. And so I take power off from the electric fence. I go in, and she's dead, torn up pretty bad. And it's real, real gruesome looking. Her heart was eaten out, her whole upper chest was ripped out. And she had two puncture wounds on her neck. And it's sad. So I call my neighbors, and I know they've had to bury animals. They've got cows and stuff. So I asked them, I said, oh, our big mom sheep died. What do you guys think I should do to bury her? So they came over, like, immediately looked at her. And I didn't know what it was. I thought it was either, like, coyotes or maybe, like, raccoons had done it or something, because they didn't Raccoons just kill stuff, but I don't think raccoons are will go after something that big. And they came over and they're like, oh no, that's a cougar. So there's a cougar on the loose in the neighborhood. That's what you want to call where we live. And so they helped me take Loretta up behind our property and dump her out. And it was a bummer, you know. I really liked her. She was real skittish, but she was going to be a good mom. She was the mom to my two little favorite, my two little dairy lambs. And we were going to get her bred, and she was going to have big hair sheep babies, and she's gone now. So it's just part of living
Yeah,
out where
farm
we
living.
do, and having livestock. You know, it's inevitable, but you know, it's a little bummed out. So
Yeah. And then you were up all night.
yeah, so the neighbors contacted like the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and you know, they gave them some tips, but they came back and talked to us, and we're like, they told us, oh, we're gonna be on patrol all night because they have sheep and calves. They won't go after cows. A cougar won't go after a cow, but it can take down their calves. So they let all their dogs sleep out at night, and they're like, we're gonna just keep patrolling. And so Emily and I stayed up till midnight, about 12:30, with rifles and flashlights, and just kept walking around the property and heard some crazy stuff, and went to bed about 12:30, heard some crazy stuff at 1:30. I thought one of them was getting killed, so I ran out and they were fine. And then I woke up at 5 and just went and drove my truck up to the new area where I'd put the sheep, and just hung out in there until the sun came up, and then went in and slept from about 7:30 till 11. So yeah, a little
Not
bit
fun.
yeah, not the funnest, but it's what you got to do. And thankful that everybody made it through the night. And yeah, I feel better. I guess cougars will kill their prey. They like to do it in like a wooded area because they drag them, and then they take them up a tree with them and eat them up in a tree, which is crazy.
Like a leopard, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen like, you know, those like videos of them dragging full deer up a tree.
Yeah.
And I mean, she was big. She was a big girl. It took like two of us to get her into the truck. She was probably, you know, 150, 175 pounds. So she's still up there right now. The neighbor went and checked on her. Nothing took her away yet. So, but
It's not
yeah.
gonna draw, I mean, she's far enough away that she won't draw other predators to.
Yeah, it's better that she's up there than down here. But
Oh, yeah.
the Department of Fish and Wildlife said that if another one gets killed, they'll send a trapper out to come get it. And if another one dies, then we've got to leave it right where it's at, because it'll come back for it later,
Oh,
and then
so
they can trap it.
that I see.
Yeah. So
What do they do when they trap it? Do they just take it elsewhere or do they finish them?
I don't know, but our neighbors told me that since it had already killed livestock, that it's fair game. So we're allowed to kill it. And they said if we do kill it, which is strange, that they will come test it for like rabies and stuff, and then give it back to us. So it'd be ours.
Okay.
Yeah, so you get like a cool pelt from
Rug.
it. And a yeah, so I know a guy, and he treed a wildcat and he shot it down, and then he went to the local grocery store by his house and bought a tag for it the next day, and he almost got in big trouble for it. He got like fined, but he almost had to
But
go.
bought a tag for it. What is that? You mean like a
You could buy it,
pet?
but buying a tag means that you paid the fee and the state has allowed you to go hunting for that animal.
Oh,
But he
so
did it
he.
after the fact.
Yeah.
So,
I thought you meant like a pet, like a collar, a tag.
no, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
But
It's quite
yeah,
different,
that's
quite
what's going
different.
on out here. So, what's going on with you?
Not much. Kind of, we're living the day to day. It's like Groundhog Day again and again and again.
Yeah.
So, but everything's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Just.
a strange time of year here. It's like it's hot still. It's like pretty muggy, and the flying insects are like at their height right now. There's so many like bees and flies and everything outside, so
Yeah. I mean, we have bee season definitely that in the fall around here. You see a lot more bees, but I'm seeing a lot of monarch butterflies all of a sudden. I planted new vines along a fence, and the monarchs are loving them. They're always just like three or four of them just flitting around there.
yeah. You know what those are the sign up, right? The symbol
No.
for MK Ultra.
Get out.
Yeah, because they call it
Monarch, monarch, of
Project
course.
Monarch. Yeah.
Huh.
So,
Wow.
yeah, originally we were going to do, speaking of Project Monarch, we were going to do some Laurel Canyon stuff today. But since we're getting into October, I thought it would be fun to do some supernatural stuff. We have not, it's 153. This is number 153, Deborah. And we haven't done any ghost or anything like that stuff yet, I don't think.
Well, I love this topic.
Yeah, you like ghosts?
Of course. I've never seen one.
Never seen, never had a weird experience?
Not personally, but everybody around me has practically.
Yeah, who did they see?
My mother saw her father,
After he died, like soon
yeah,
after.
soon after.
Yeah.
My aunt and Emily both saw my mother.
Right after she died.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
And yeah, so yeah, I would like to, but
So you believe in ghosts?
I
Yeah.
do.
Yeah, I
I
definitely
I
do.
don't think it's, nothing like Casper or things we see in the movies. I don't think it's like that at all, but I think there's a definitely energy that remains.
Yeah. Why do you think it remains?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And I don't think it's unfinished business. I mean, everybody, the three people that I mentioned that saw their loved ones were comforted by their presence. It was definitely, no conversation, but just I'm letting you know I'm fine. I'm not sad. I'm fine, and you're gonna be fine. That kind of message.
Yeah, as you come to the end of your life, does that give you any sort of confidence?
Yeah, it's comfort.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Would you ever consider coming to see me after you've met your end?
Sure, if you want me to, I will.
If you'd be nice, that'd be nice.
Okay, I
Come
will.
between, 9 and noon. So you don't come see any weird stuff or something.
9 and noon, you mean in the morning? Come see
Yeah.
you in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think time probably has a different concept on the other side, but I'll remember that. I'll try to
Thank
remember
you.
that.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'll make sure to leave some message or, so you'll know it's me.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, we've got I got a couple good ghost type shows. I'll send you, do you have a Kindle?
No, I don't.
No. I'll send you should get one, 'cause sometimes you can get book. I like, I'm like everybody else. I like physical books. Well, not everybody, I guess. I like physical
I
books.
like books, yeah.
But it's cool 'cause sometimes you can get books on Kindle for like $3 or free or stuff like that. So, I'm reading this guy M.R. Gorga. He's got a book on demonic possession.
Ooh.
So I'm reading that, and I got him booked for the show for October.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's like talking about stuff that happened pre-Salem witch trials, like people that were possessed in colonial Massachusetts and stuff like that.
And he doesn't think it was the ergot in the, or however you
No,
pronounce it.
he actually addressed that on my friend Ryan Dean's show Dangerous World. And yeah, that's all kind of crap, he says.
Really?
Yeah,
Oh,
because why didn't
okay.
it affect everybody?
Well, the story that I recall is that it was like kind of mass hysteria that one of the girls started doing it. And you know how young girls are. They are so they all started like acting.
Oh yeah, like when someone acts drunk and they're not.
Exactly.
It was the fad of
Yeah.
the Salem witch trial times to
Let's act
yeah,
possessed.
let's act possessed. What's the worst that could happen? They drowned us. They burned me at the stake, but at
They
least I'll fit
stone
in.
me,
It's like
but
it was like the original autistic 15-year-old version of girl of turning trans.
yeah, funny, funny, funny. But
Yeah.
yeah, I do have another ghost story. Maybe I should save it for when we're.
Yeah, let's save it for when our guest gets here. But yeah, that ergot thing is definitely intriguing and interesting to think about, but kind of seems like an early version of, science trying to explain away the unexplainable,
Could
the
be.
spiritual.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you think if you so you definitely believe in a higher power?
Yes, I do.
That's good. Yeah. You know what? I was very, very naive. I've been pretty open about talking about what I'm doing spiritually. And I thought everyone, especially in our little world, would be like, oh, that's cool. Adam's trying to figure some stuff out, and he's found a way that he enjoys, and he's going after it. I never, and this is me just being dumb because I haven't been involved in any sort of spirituality or organized religion in so long. But when you talk about it, and especially Christianity, you start get I've been getting it from all sides,
What, getting
from
flack?
yeah, from people disagreeing with me, wanting to like debate about stuff, and then all the way to the other end of the spectrum of like being made fun of. And I mean, yeah, like I said, it's stupid of me to not realize that that would happen. It's just, it's just one of those things that you got to figure out. Like when you start getting woke up and you start talking to normal people about it and they don't want to hear it. It's or when I got sober and thought everybody should hear about AA and I just ended up being super annoying. So yeah, that is something that I needed to learn, and because of it and because of my limited knowledge and not really wanting to like get into a debate type deal with people, I don't think I really want to talk about it out in the open on the show anymore. I'm fine talking. If anybody's interested and wants to like talk to me about what I'm doing, they can feel welcome to hit me up privately or just to talk in a more casual setting.
I gotta say I'm surprised
Yeah, I am too.
because you weren't, I mean, I've never heard you proselytize or
Yeah, I am.
try to conform anybody.
I am guilty of I so I want I'd like to issue an apology as well. There's other forms of spirituality that, I don't agree with or think are worthy or as good as what I'm doing, and I might have said some things like that. Maybe when it comes down to different forms of Christianity, like Catholicism, or maybe like Christ consciousness, or even down to kind of dismissing the new age. And even though I don't agree with all that stuff, I know there's some people that have, gotten good things out of it for their life. And who am I to say anything right now, because I'm upset that people have been doing what they've been saying to me. And so I will like to say I'm sorry for that. I still disagree with certain things and would never try them for myself, but yeah, I didn't like it when people did it to me, so.
I think, there's a slight difference between, saying that this is what I believe, and I don't understand that belief.
Yeah.
It well there and then there's, you're just ignorant for believing what you believe. You should believe what I believe. There's obviously a huge difference
Yeah.
between those. And
But
all right.
yeah, I did my first catechism class on Thursday night, and it was really great. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be maybe a little boring and dry, and they got right into it and talked about all sorts of stuff. So they're going to go through and just talk about theology and history of Christianity and all that stuff, and Judaism
So
even. Like the first thing they told us about is that, our this the divine liturgy that Orthodox Christians practice, which is our version of mass, it directly comes from Judaism. It's like a lot of the same exact traditions, because that's what the early Christians were before they were Christians.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk all about theology, all that kind of thing. And then our divine liturgy is such a complicated and weird ceremony that they're going to kind of just explain what's going on. And the priest or the father cracked a joke and said, we kind of call it what to kiss and when to do it, because like this the divine liturgy is just filled with like kissing icons and crossing yourself 1,000 times during it and doing all that stuff. So
And that is the mass is,
yeah
did I hear that? Okay.
yeah
That's
it's
what a
it's
mass
like
is.
that's
Okay.
like the
Cause
service. Yeah, you should come next time you come up. You should come with me.
I would like to. Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's interesting to me. All that, my freshman year of college, I took, a course. It was called The Bible is Literature. And I was raised in the Jewish religion, and I resented the hell out of it. I was dragged to temple, and
Yeah, you had the
went,
normal
yeah, I had the
American
normal,
religious
yeah.
experience that most kids have had in the last, 70 years.
However, raised in the town that, and at the time, Jews were still considered other. Maybe
Yeah.
they still are, I just don't. And all my friends went to Sunday school. I went
Yeah.
to Saturday school. It was just, I didn't want to be different. I did not want to be different. And I was. Anyhow, so freshman year of college, I take this course, and it was just fascinating. It started with the Old Testament, and we went all the way through and looked at it, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, as literature, not as a spiritual. And even that was super interesting.
Like one really cool thing that the priest, I guess he's not a priest, I don't think they call him that, is Father Matthew told us is that like we can debate theology with people, but we don't judge their salvation. So that really felt good to me, but yeah, I can't wait to get into it. And my friends, did it last year. Because it goes September till the springtime, and I think it gets people ready to get baptized in the spring. It's got to be warmer because they do it in the pond behind the church, and they said he's going to talk about ghosts and all sorts of stuff. So,
This is through the new church that you we're invited to.
Yeah, the one in Milwaukee, but right, but 5 minutes from my old house that I drive an hour and 15 minutes to now, you know. So, our guest is here. Maybe we should just let her in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's my speech on that, guys. I'm not gonna get into it anymore on there. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. And yeah, if you want to know, hit me up in the Telegram. Okay. Julia, are you there?
Hi, I'm good. How are
Hey,
you?
welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, guys,
Happy
our
to
guest
be
today
here.
is the Cosmic Peach, Julia. I don't know your last name. I don't think
Hi, Julia.
that's my
Hi.
mother-in-law, Deborah, up there.
Hi, Deborah. I've been so anticipating our meeting.
Yeah. We've you know, I think the first time I ever came across you was at one of the talk at the taverns, and it was before you had a show, and I was like, who's this chick? You know, she kind of knows a lot and likes to talk. What's her show? And I was like, oh, you don't even have a show yet. And everybody was always telling you, you gotta start a show, you gotta start a show. And finally did. You're 30 something episodes in, right?
Yes, about 35 episodes.
I think it's a fantastic show. I
Thank
listened
you.
to a couple more episodes today, and I was listening to your one with Mikey J on the Flat Earth, and even got into some Laurel Canyon stuff on that one. He's coming on our show soon. And yeah, it's just fantastic. You're a great researcher. You've been at this a long time, and we're so excited to talk to you today.
Oh
Tell
yeah, I
everybody.
finally have an outlet
Yeah.
for all my craziness.
Yeah. What's it? Do you ever like, you said your husband's sort of a little bit normal, right?
He is, but I think I had just rope-a-doped him so badly with like not having a show because I would just throw stuff at him like constantly. And he'd be like, if I hear another word out of your mouth, I'm gonna freak out. And now that I have a podcast and I'm not like beating him over the head with it all the time, he's kind of slowly started asking me questions. And I'm like, oh, thank God. So he's getting, what is it, red pilled. He's getting red
Yeah.
pilled.
Yeah,
Wish him luck. Tell him I wish him best of luck.
I did it to my wife, Deborah's daughter too. So, yeah. Yeah, so tell everybody a little bit about the show and what you like to do.
So I have Cosmic Peach Podcast and I cover paranormal, supernatural, so like Bigfoot, cryptids, stuff like that, and conspiracies and ancient mysteries, stuff about forgotten things in of our past, Mary Magdalene, Da Vinci Code kind of stuff. So I'm a jack of all trades. Whatever you like, I got it for you.
Yeah, it's good. And then you've done some really fun episodes with Ryan from Dangerous World. You recently did his break from what does he call his
Conspiracy break room.
conspiracy break room. I was the first one that he did, but mine was nowhere as fun as yours. You had a very colorful upbringing, very, very different from mine. I've never been to the Midwest, and I definitely never lived in a trailer park, but you did both of those things. And you were kind of the more of the urban, or like the urban rather than rural trailer park, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I was close to Circle K. I don't know if you guys have
Yeah.
Circle K's where you're at.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Yeah,
What's a
so
Circle K? You know what a Circle K does. It's like 7-Eleven, Deborah.
it's
Oh, no,
like,
I don't.
yeah,
I
the
don't know
gas
what that is, but
station.
okay.
And they're really big, like in the part of Ohio where I grew up. And we would just like after high school was, over with, I stopped going to Circle K as much. But during my high school years, I was like, I'm getting a Polar Pop every day. That was like the thing was like, go get a Polar Pop. And they're nowhere to be found in Oklahoma. So I didn't know if it was just like an Ohio thing with the Circle K, but we only have
Yeah.
7-Elevens down here.
Yeah, 7-Elevens. I grew up in a town that all they had is the only thing we had was a Safeway, which is our Kroger, or like, you know, it's just a big grocery store. It's a town of 5,000 people. So if there was nothing going on, we'd go over there. We'd look for some migrant farm workers to buy us 40s of Country Club malt liquor, maybe find some people that we could bum cigarettes from, you know, and then we'd go and we'd try to get these 40s. These Country Club malt liquor 40s were 95 cents when I was in high school. And we could
Lord.
each get a Mexican guy to buy us two of them, and then we'd go sit in the, I grew up in the Napa Valley, so there's vineyards everywhere, so we'd go sit in the vineyards behind the public library and drink them there.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because in the part of Ohio where I grew up, it was like wine country and there was like grape fields everywhere and a lot of wineries. And so in the wintertime, they would actually do ice wine, which was like the frozen grapes, and the wine was like super sweet and super strong. And every year we'd have like a grape jamboree, and it was like grape pie and wine and grape soda. And like I said that to someone the other day, and they were like, "That sounds fucking horrible." And I was like, "Yeah, it's so fun. We all dressed in purple, and we actually like grapes, and we would walk down, you know, the middle of the town, a grape jamboree."
That sounds good old Americana.
I know, right?
Have you ever been to the Midwest, Deborah?
I never have,
Yeah,
no.
I haven't either. I
Not even
think,
like Chicago,
yeah, I've been
but
to
I know I
O'Hare
wouldn't.
Airport. That's it.
Yeah, I don't consider Chicago to be the Midwest, but that seems like to be the big draw for the Midwest. I don't know, but no, I've never been.
Yeah, and I grew up in Ohio and for 8 or 9 years in Kentucky as well. So
So
everyone always.
Cincinnati is pretty much like Kentucky, right?
It's very close. Like it's like that little borderline city between like Ohio and Kentucky. And everyone always says like I have a confused accent because I was really little when we moved to Kentucky and I lived there for like 8 years and we moved back to Cleveland. And in Cleveland, they have like those real nasally accents, which a lot of my family members have that. So I have like a nasally southern accent with a splash of Oklahoma in it. And I'm like, God knows the people who listen to my show really like me because it's very taxing listening to somebody like me over and over again.
Yeah, I think it's a good voice for this type of thing.
Thank you.
Originally we were gonna have you on to do Laurel Canyon stuff because Deborah,
Love.
I made Deborah read Dave McGowan's book, Weird Scenes Inside the
Yes.
Canyon, and it really messed her up.
It
It really.
wrecked me for a while because that's what I grew up loving, you know, all those artists, I just worshiped them, thought they just changed the world. And
You remember, Deborah, who was the one that disappointed you the most out of that book?
well, there were so many. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young was really
But the.
disappointing.
You had already known that David Crosby was a piece of shit, though, right? For growing
Yeah.
or living where you do.
Yeah. Because he was.
Deborah lives in Marin County, California, which is like the really nice county that's across San Francisco from across the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco. So a lot of those people, you know, there was a lot of communes there, and then like now it's really wealthy. It was like communes in the 60s and 70s, and now
It's
it's.
kind of arty farty, you know, a lot of musicians wound up there for whatever
But
reason.
you knew people that had had experiences with David
Yeah.
Crosby, seeing him like
Yeah,
with
seeing him
black
drunk
eyes
and
and like he gets like beat up and stuff, right?
I'll tell you, the one that broke my heart was the Mamas and the Papas because I had like an unhealthy obsession with the Mamas and the Papas. Like I love like California Dreamin', Monday, Monday, like, oh my God. And like to find out what he did with his
Oh
daughter
my
as well.
God, such a piece of crap.
Yeah. And I would,
That's
you know,
John Phillips.
yeah, John Phillips. And my mom and I loved this movie. It was called American Graffiti.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
with
Yeah. And
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yes, we
That's what
watched it over and over again.
everybody tells me that I look like Richard Dreyfuss.
No,
I'm
they're
sorry.
wrong. You
I
don't.
know. It's like it's like
That's
that
so
one
wrong.
that people are like, "Oh my God, you look like that guy." I'm like, "Maybe he's gonna say Jason Statham." And they go, "No, like Richard Dreyfuss." I'm like, "Oh, come on,
Oh.
man."
Are we talking like American Graffiti, or are we talking like Close Encounters?
Like what about Bob, probably?
Oh no. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I gotta say, Frank Zappa really kind of wrecked me.
Yeah, fuck that guy. He
Yeah,
was like the leader of it.
yeah. I was never a big fan, so he didn't like bum me out as much, but like my other co-host Chet X, he's like upset about that one too. So
Oh,
but
it broke my heart. It just broke my heart because when you're a kid, you can't discern between like, this is, these are creeps or freaks or whatever, and this is good music. You just hear something and you like it. So, like, my mom would clean the house and play like Mama Cass, and it was so sentimental to me. And then to read that book and then do the episode on it and then kind of expand it like with my own research, I was sick to my stomach because, just the fact of them being idols. So many people adore them. And it's like, what have we kind of co-signed? We've co-signed like all of this behavior that they've incest, pedophilia, satanic worship. Like, it just makes you think. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. But I had to get that out since you brought it up.
We're I know you have a big you're a big Halloween fan, right?
Oh, I have a massive erection for Halloween and it will never change.
Yeah, and we're 153 episodes in. This is 153, and we've never done a paranormal episode. I listened to you with Ghost from My Third Eye podcast, which is a he's a great dude, and you've got some spooky stuff in your big extended family, and you talked all about it. You were on his show before you even had a show, right?
I had not started my show yet, and I was so nervous because it was the first time I had ever done a podcast, and I was had like on my phone, I had little notes and I was trying to like read them and like keep ghosts entertained. But now I'm just like, eh, fuck it. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, there's a million podcasts to listen to.
Yeah, I remember before I had my show, I got to go on like this super duper popular guy that I don't really listen to anymore. I got to go on like his Patreon show and talk about a subject that I was not an expert on. And I remember like pacing around all day and being like super duper nervous and then going on and just being fine. And now it's just like, oh, I just kind of
Business as usual.
show up 10 minutes before, send out some invites and get it done. So
Yeah. And it doesn't mean like you and I don't love our show because I love my show. Like I take it very seriously. Like I put a lot of like time into each episode, but you have to reach a certain level of like comfortability because if you're nervous or you overthink it, like your genuine self doesn't come out on the episode. And you really want to create an emotion in people, and you really want to create a relationship with your listeners, even though you might never meet them. You really want them to feel like they know you. And when you're real nervous and you fuck up a bunch, they don't really get that connection with you. So I was like, let me just put it all out there. I'm just gonna, throw caution to the wind. If people want to listen to it, they will return. And if they don't, they don't.
Avery,
That's
FaceTime
fine,
video.
That's what Ryan shows his conspiracy break room show is so good for, because I know all about the garbage that you ate as a child. And what is it, Taco Casa?
Taco Casa.
Okay, we don't have that here. When I grew up in Portland, Oregon, not known for its Mexican food, but we had Mexicali Express. That was a local venue that I used to really enjoy.
Sounds like cat food.
And then we also have they also have another one in the Pacific Northwest, Oregon and Washington, called Taco Time. It's not very good though. It's like kind of a B-League Taco Bell. So
Well, I'll tell you, if you ever go to Texas or Oklahoma, you got to stop by Taco Casa, get a jug of sweet tea, a couple of Taco Lights, get some rice and beans.
Okay, I'll
You'll be feeling good.
definitely do that next time I'm in that area. Okay, let's get into it. How should we, are we just gonna tell your whole family story?
Yeah, so I've told it a couple of times now on other podcasts because people found it really interesting. So I've kind of, found the best way to display it, which would be to just start with kind of a little brief description of my family's history and then kind of lead into what happened after that.
Okay. Let's the challenge of the show is to keep the old lady involved. So let's work our best to do that. But yeah, let's
I
do
got you, Deb. You're gonna love it. Don't
it.
worry about it.
She doesn't like to be
Okay.
called Deb.
That's
I'm
okay.
sorry.
No. Just don't call me Debbie.
Oh, it's Debbie, yeah.
Okay.
It's
As long
Debbie.
as it's not Debbie. Okay.
Yeah. You're good. You're all good.
So I guess the story starts out with my family came from the Appalachian Mountains in Kentucky. A holler, no electricity, dirt floors. They killed all their own food or they grew their own food. There was nothing fancy about the way that they lived.
Were they Scots-Irish?
So I actually did an ancestry DNA thing. They're probably doing all type of fun little experiments with my DNA right now, but I spit in one of those tubes and sent it off, and it was like Irish, Scottish, and then it came back 15% North African.
Like Moroccan or something.
Morocco and like, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
So it was like Irish, Scottish, like one other white thing, and then like 15% North African, which could be BS. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah. I always ask about that. We had our friend Bo from the Bump podcast on to talk about the Appalachia, and he kind of like made the assertion that Scots-Irish people settled there because it was like the same as where they came from. It looked the same physically, but that there's a lot of cryptid and paranormal. People believe in that stuff there because it relates to like the fae and all that stuff that's prevalent in Scots-Irish. But sorry, I won't interrupt. Keep going.
No, that's okay. Well, it kind of is a good segue because what they said about my great grandfather Troy is that he was a mountain healer, and some people called him a conjuring healer. And again, no electricity, no running water, nothing. But people knew about him and would come to him with various medical conditions, and he would lay hands on them and they would be healed. And he did have this little thing that he would say. It was like a rhyme or like a song, and he would whisper it so quietly that you couldn't make out what it was. And then he'd be like, okay. And they'd come back like a month later and they'd be healed. And they said that it was passed down to the seventh son of the family. So whatever the seventh person, male or female, whoever that was in the family, that before my great grandfather died, he had to give the secret to one of us. And on his deathbed, he called my aunt into the room and he said, okay, I'm going to tell you what it is. And she inherited this gift. But she died suddenly and the secret died with her because she wasn't
Oh,
able to
wow.
pass it down.
This was your aunt, like one of your parents' sibling?
Yes.
Okay.
So my great grandpa Troy comes from my mom's side of the family. And I guess so. I've never said this on a podcast before. This is exclusive to you guys, but this place in Kentucky was so small that my grandmother and my grandfather were third cousins. So technically, my great grandpa Troy was from both of them. So, I mean, it's not like they were incestuous or anything like that. I just think in the 1920s or whenever it was,
Yeah,
and
that's
living with no electricity, it was different.
yeah, there
Yeah,
wasn't a big
absolutely.
pool to pick from, probably. I'm Italian, so that's probably further away than my ancestors.
But I always was embarrassed about that because I was like, oh my God, mama and papa were third cousins. And that was normal for them because there was not very many other people to marry. So I, and maybe that could have something to do with like the bloodline thing because they didn't really marry outside of like their area. So
Yeah.
they get married, of course, and my great grandpa Troy passes away. He tells my aunt what the secret is. And my grandpa and my grandma always had this weird thing about like people would just go to them if they had something wrong because they knew that they would pray for them and that they were like prayer warriors and they were very strong spiritual people. So it kind of drew people into our family because they were like, there's just something about the Hamilton family because they have this nurturing. That's what people would describe it. Like they're nurturing people. We just would leave our door open. Anybody who wanted to come over, come on in. I would randomly wake up at my grandma's house and there'd be like six people in the kitchen just to stop by for a cup of coffee, company, come over, you know, and was normal back then. Now you have to like make arrangements 6 months ahead of time before you go over to somebody's house. But yeah, my grandpa builds a church with like his bare hands from nothing. He builds a church and he builds like his house right next to it. So they were like literally just one house in between. It was like the church, neighbor's house, our house. And because it was built from nothing, I don't think that it had anything to do with the house itself being haunted, but maybe the land, or maybe our family, because we are so sensitive, maybe we just picked up on it easier, or maybe it's a combination because someone else has told me they think maybe there was like a portal or something in our house, and things were just freely walking in and out.
Maybe it came from Europe with your family.
Something like that. Because I've told this story also to New York Patriot, and he was very curious about like what type of blood type our family has. Maybe it's like that Rh
Rh
negative blood.
negative.
Yeah, but I have no idea. Obviously, I haven't blood tested my family
Have you
members.
ever heard about that, Deborah?
No.
So
That Rh negative is.
Rh negative blood is supposed to be the bloodline that like the Illuminati recruits from, kind of like that. What else can you say about it, Julia?
I've also heard that the Rh negative blood type didn't come from here. So it would be like an extraterrestrial bloodline that's been kind of watered down over the years.
We're talking Anunnaki.
Yeah, because there's like type A, type B, and you can kind of like find a donor and like swap blood with those type of blood types. But Rh negative blood can only receive Rh negative blood, but any other blood type can take Rh negative. So if you're type A, you can still take Rh negative. But if you are Rh negative, you can't take type A. So it's like a universal donor, but not, you can't just
You
receive any type
can't.
of blood. So they have speculated that it just comes from somewhere else, that it's like a, if you don't want to go extraterrestrial, you could even say it's like an off planet. Whether it be like humans on another planet that were like sent here and started a colony on Earth, and that's where this blood type came from. You don't have to go extraterrestrial like little green men, but it did come from somewhere else.
Yeah, we can get into so much stuff from there. We can get into Nephilim and fallen angels and everything from there. But it's supposedly, Deborah, I think probably what they would say though, like you've got the book Bloodlines of the Illuminati, but they like the royal family would be Rh negative, right? Yeah, so I mean that's why they inbreed and that's why they look like they do. You know, that's why
They're
you got
trying to keep
guys that
that
look like
strong.
Prince Philip, you know. So it's important to them. Their bloodline's important to them, you know, for some strange reason. We don't know why.
They believe that there's actual magic in their blood.
Yeah.
So And I'm not giving myself a pat on the back like I'm a magical person or anything, but it is odd that most of the members of my family have, like, either they're super intuitive to like a weird degree, or they always have like paranormal experiences, including myself. And my sister actually is the one in our family who has like the pregnant dreams. And if she texts our group text and it was like, I had a pregnant dream last night, one of us bitches ends up pregnant. And I pray to God, she just had one a couple days ago. It is not me. You know what I'm saying? So,
will she tell you who it is?
She always has a dream that she's pregnant and that she's like giving birth. And then she wakes up from the dream and she'll text us and it'll be one of us, you know, either my cousin Brooke or my cousin Brittany, somebody ends up pregnant. So she just had one the other day. I was like, God, no, I just got my podcast started. I can't have a baby right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like an intuitive thing. And every house that we've ever lived in, there's been something, like a little something outside of the normal, but it really concentrated on this house that my grandpa built, because we all lived there for a time to take care of my grandparents as their health started to decline. So,
and this one's in Kentucky?
This is in Ohio.
Okay.
Right on Lake Erie, which is another theory somebody had, that Lake Erie is like a hot spot for all this weird paranormal activity. So it just never ends. It's like the deepest rabbit hole ever. So my aunt and my cousin Brooke and Brittany and her husband, my uncle, they move in to take care of my grandparents. Everything's fine. They start realizing that they're seeing my cousin Brooke walking around the house. Normal, just if I'm in the living room, she's in the kitchen, maybe she went to go get a Sprite and go back to her room. You would think nothing of it. They would call to her, hey, Brooke. She would look at them. No response. And what it looks like, because I saw it too, is like, it looks like Brooke exactly. It's not Brooke. So she would walk in from the hallway and maybe go out the garage door like she was on her way to school. The real Brooke would then come in from the other way. And you have to sit there for a second. And if you've never experienced anything like this, it's a real come to Jesus moment, because you've looked at them and acknowledged that it's them. And then they go, and then the real person comes in and you're like, how the fuck? Like, am I hallucinating? Is there something wrong with me? Do I need to be on meds? Because I swear to God, I just saw her go out this way. And here comes the real one into the room.
Was there ever an instance? Spoke. Was there ever a time when there were a couple of you who observed the unreal person? Or was
not
it always just
as a group?
Uh-huh.
Because if you want to say like it was a demon,
I wouldn't go immediately there. Is that where you kind of went?
I think it was probably a demon.
Okay.
Because they always play on your comfortability.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to assume the shape of someone that you would be okay seeing them. Not a dead person. Like you'd be like, oh my God, it's a fucking no. An alive person.
Uh-huh.
And you're comfortable with that because you know they live there and you know what they look like, and you would think that would be a normal place to see them, like in the kitchen.
Right.
Walking around. But it's not them. And my aunt would see my mom. And she would come up behind, like, to tap my mom's shoulder, like, hey, I didn't even know you were here. And it would turn around. And my aunt said, like, this voice came out and it was like speaking, but it was like, she doesn't know what the language was. It was like speaking to her. And we're a very, very spiritual, religious family. So my aunt was like, I was like pleading the blood of Jesus like all over me. And she just kind of like that and like went out of the living room, never saw it again.
Did she ever say, was it like tongues, or was it like a European language, or like a
I really don't think my aunt would have known the difference. It could have been speaking French for all she knew, but if based on the other experiences that we had, I would say it was probably like some kind of a tongues because the energy in that house was like hopeless, despair, dark. Like my cousin would leave empty cups in her bedroom. Because she knew that if she woke up in the middle of the night and had to go to the bathroom, she was going to be too scared to go down the hallway by herself and she would pee in empty cups in her room.
Now, it was always
Yeah.
that sort of feeling in the house.
Yes. The only time, and it was odd because Thanksgiving, Christmas, we're all in there having a great time. Eating, laughing. Don't you dare break out of the group and think you're going to go down the hallway by yourself, though.
Buddy system,
Because
strictly.
you have to stay in the unit. Because I would, if I said, hey, I got to go to the bathroom, my cousin would immediately know what I meant, that I couldn't go by myself because I was petrified to go down that hallway alone. So we'd had to go in like groups. But the thing about it was, it's not okay to talk about demons. It's not okay to talk about ghosts because my grandpa's the pastor and he'll say, you know, we have power over that. We have power over demons. We have power over, the devil. So you can't be scared. You have to empower yourself. So if we were to go to him and say something like that, he would be like, well, it sounds like you need to get right with God. You know, he's not gonna admit that there's something going on in there.
And the fact that it's happening there in such a in a house full of like someone who's supposed to be so spiritually powerful that that's not even going to help you.
There was a religious icon on every wall. Crucifix, Jesus picture, Jesus on the cross. I mean, every scripture everywhere, Bibles everywhere. Whatever was in that house was completely immune to all religious icons. I'm talking about Deborah. If you could have seen this house, it looked so tacky. I'm talking oil lamps with Christ in the middle and the oil like dripping down. You can't even find these anywhere. Okay.
That stuff would go for big money in amongst like hipsters and stuff nowadays.
Oh, it was just a plethora
Was it,
of
did it have
just icons.
wood paneling for the walls?
We had my grandpa had this thing all white everything. White walls, white tile, white curtains. The only thing that he did that was like a little bit more his era was like maroon shag carpet and like all white everything else.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard MR Gorga say recently that he thinks that when the more religious you are, the more open you are to be visited by evil spirits.
That makes sense. I mean, open is open.
And they'll test you and try you for sure. And I actually talked to MR Gorga for an episode that's going to be coming up on my podcast for October. And he wrote a book called Demons Among Us.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about, Deborah. You should get it.
Deborah, you have to read Demons Among
I'm
Us.
reading it right now. We just booked him for later this month, too.
And you'll enjoy that conversation as well because it truly validates a lot of the things that I'm saying. I had never heard of him. I went on a bunch of podcasts and told this story. And one of the people who was interviewing me said, you really ought to look up MR Gorga and read this book. It's called Demons Among Us, and it might explain some things for you and your family. And I did. And I was like, so, okay, there's the validation. It's demonic. Something that can assume the shape of a loved one down to the way that their hair lays, the cowlick, you know, in the back of their head. This is not a ghost thing. This is demonic. And, you know, we all had super vivid dreams when we lived there, dreams that we were falling off buildings, dreams that we were dying in heinous, horrendous ways. And I would have dreams where I'd be walking down the hallway at the house and open a door and I would like fall into space and I would just be like swirling and falling and like I couldn't catch my breath and like choking. And my mom, so one night she's having a bad dream, and I don't know about that yet because I'm having a bad dream myself, and I'm dreaming that there's something hovering over my mom's body and like leaning into her and almost kind of like with its hands like on her chest, like melting into her almost. And this is a dream, but I wake up, but I didn't want to open my eyelids because I didn't want to look over and see if it was real, because my mom slept in the bed with me because I was so terrified. Like I would go to her room and get her every night. So she just got sick of it and started being like, okay, I'll just sleep in your room, I guess. We had like a king bed, and I would like open it kind of, but I did not, Deborah, I did not want to see it. If it was in there, I did not want to see it. So the next morning she goes, yeah, I don't know. Like, I just felt like I had like hands like on my chest all night. And I never told her, because she was easy to panic and I did not want to terrify her. So I just kind of kept that to myself. And it's a very lonely feeling when you have stuff like that happening to you, because you're like, who am I going to tell? Like, who's going to believe this? Yeah. Like, this is so fantastical almost. Like, what are you talking about? Demons and ghosts and like dreams. And this is made up stuff. But it was the realest shit. It was the realest shit. My grandma had dementia, which I also feel like kind of opens your mind to some stuff.
Let me just interrupt for a second.
I'm not laughing at your grandma's dementia. I'm laughing at
my Deborah's dog.
Oh, I can barely hear it. I don't know. I kind of have my volume down though.
He's just moaning and groaning because
he's scared of my story.
He's just gonna keep going, so I'm just gonna ignore him. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. But yeah, she had dementia, and she would say like she would see me come into her room every night and dance at the end of her bed. She would say she saw people in the kitchen, she would see people in the living room, people out in the driveway. And
did she ever specify who they were, or just people?
Family members.
Dead ones ever?
Family members. Mm-hmm. And we kind of played it off like this is part of her dementia.
Yeah.
Hallucinations.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that's our age has a experience with a family member who's gone through this. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that, but looking back on it with like hindsight 2020, now that we've all kind of talked about our stories together, I highly doubt that it was a hallucination. I think she was just a little bit more open to perceiving this stuff that was going on in the house.
Yeah, I really liked on your episode with Ghost, where you guys were talking about how maybe dementia is just kind of like this in between world that's just kind of getting people prepped for where they're headed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad to think maybe the ones that are having the real hard time with it maybe aren't going to the right spot, or you know.
Yeah, like they have one foot in and out of our reality. They're almost there. They're almost into like the abyss, or whatever you want to call the beyond, the life after, but they're also still here. So they're seeing stuff like coming through because they have like one foot into that reality and one foot in ours. So I don't know if it's that they've lost their mind as much as they're just kind of seeing everything, because they're, you know, in the middle.
Imagine the horrors that Joe Biden must be seeing right now.
My God,
where he's headed.
That, see, that's why he shits his pants all the time. He's scared to death.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the scariest thing I think that happened, and not that I'm saying like it's a haunted house, but definitely there was some shit going on in there. My sister came to spend the night with my grandma, and we're a really close family. Like, she knew my grandma wasn't doing too well, so she wanted to like spend the night with her and like watch movies or whatever. And she was going to spend the night and sleep in my grandma's bed with her. And she goes to bed, they go to bed, and she wakes up in the middle of the night because the light is on in the hallway. And they're old fashioned. So we're talking about when it's time to go to bed, mama will make sure like every light is off, no TVs are on. She didn't even have like an alarm clock, nothing electronic because she was so old school. Like when it was time for bed, you could hear freaking crickets 30 miles away. Like that's how quiet the house was. So my sister wakes up because the light is on in the hallway and the door's kind of like cracked. So it's coming into the bedroom and she wakes up and she's kind of like looking into the hallway. And she sees my cousin Brooke standing in the hallway, but it's like the back of her. And she goes like, "Brooke, what are you doing out there?" Like,
Does she live at the
door.
house at this time?
She's still living there. Yeah, so it's
Okay.
when my cousins and my aunt and uncle were living there.
Got it.
So it would be normal for her to be there.
Yeah.
Like maybe she got in the up in the middle of the night to get a drink, whatever.
Yeah.
And she's in the hallway and she goes like, "Brooke." She turns around, looks at my sister, and then she does my hand to God. She does like the girl from The Exorcist and like bends over backwards.
Oy,
And she's just, but her head, I guess based on my sister, her head stayed the same though. So it was like her head was still upright, but the body was like backwards. And she started like crawling kind of down the hallway. And my sister was, I don't know what I would do in this kind of a situation. Obviously, I've never been in this, so I have to take my sister at her word. And she kind of like, when I asked her about it, she had like tears in her eyes. And she was like, "I just kind of started praying. Like I was just praying. And I like closed my eyes and like I was praying." And she said she was like pleading the blood of Jesus like all over her. And it kind of just slunk off into like the darkness of the hallway. And I was like, "What did you do after that though?" Because obviously, if it were me, I'm waking mama up, I'm waking everybody in the
Yeah,
house up,
every light in
I'm
the
turning
house is going to
lights
be on.
on, I'm fucking getting the fuck out, you know? And she said, "I was petrified because there was no TV in the bedroom, nothing. I couldn't turn anything on. No lights, nothing. I laid stiff as a board the rest of the night with my eyes open." And she said, "I wanted to see if it came back in the room because I wanted to protect Mama."
My
And she
gosh.
laid there the rest of the night with her eyes wide open, waiting for this thing to come back in the room. And she said, "Finally, I started to kind of see the sunlight coming through the window, and I felt at peace about it. And I never said anything to anyone until years and years and years later, when we all started kind of talking about it." And the way it came up was like so weird because I was like, I didn't like living at Mama's house. And that's all I would kind of say about it. And one of my cousins would be like, "Oh yeah, I didn't like, no." She was like, "I didn't like living at Mama's house." And I was like, "Did you ever like see anything?" And they were like, "Did you ever see anything?" And this is how it started. Like, we were almost ashamed to talk about it because of our like religious, you don't talk about demons and like you don't talk about that kind of stuff. Even though we all kind of knew that we were inherently like, we had discernment. Like, we could tell if we were about to go into a bad situation, we'd be like, "Oh, I have a bad feeling about that." And we'd say, like, "Oh, I have a bad feeling about that." To go with your gut, trust your intuition. But talking about like demons was something different. So, my aunt, the one that supposedly received the gift from my great grandpa, she was like extra in a whole nother way. Like, she saw ghosts in every house that she ever lived in. It was really crazy. She had like the most horrific stories to tell. But while they were living there, they bought like this Astro van.
Oh, sweet.
I don't know how else to describe it. It was like a van that was like not like a minivan. It was bigger than a minivan, but it was smaller than like one of those pedo vans. It was like, I don't know how else to describe it. And they're in the driveway. And it's kind of on like a slope like this, the driveway. And all of a sudden, the brake line breaks. The van starts rolling back into the street, oncoming traffic both ways. It rolls and it lands like ass up in a ditch. And my fucking cousins are in it. So it was almost like an attempt on their life while they were living at the house. Like, it was in the driveway at the house. Brake line snaps. They roll into oncoming traffic, ass up in the ditch. Cars coming both ways. Like, my aunt was just like praying to God, like nobody hit them and like smashed and killed my cousins in the van. But it's just another thing that happened there was like never ending. Just stuff that you would see in like an Exorcist movie or something. Like made up fairy tale stuff. But you know, movies like that have a little bit of truth in them. They came from somewhere.
I'm going to let my dog out before he...
What do you think? So this entity, this demonic thing that's taking the form of your cousin Brooke, what do you think the motivation is for it to do that? And then it doesn't seem like it's really following through with anything besides scaring everybody half to death, but...
I think it was just always there, and it kind of fed on the energy from my family, because sometimes people, and why I think like the bloodline thing comes in, is because sometimes people live in a haunted house, or they live in a house that has like activity going on, poltergeist, what have you, but they never see like a physical manifestation of whatever is going on. I think my family was so sensitive to that kind of stuff, and it was feeding on us so hard that it was able to manifest physically. And I think it fed on the fear that ensued after one of us would see that. I mean, you got to think, my sister stayed up from like 2 a.m. until the sun came through the window.
Yeah, and like, it didn't just go away the next morning either.
Yeah. So it was like it was feeding on us already, because it was like that oppressive feeling in the house. But then it like siphoned off enough energy where it was like, well, I'll just fucking show up and see how they like that. That'll be a nice big energy lunch for me, you know, scaring the shit out of everyone.
Yeah.
And after we moved out, obviously that kind of stuff died down. There's somebody who lives in that house right now, not related to us. And we've always said like, oh, we want to go back and like knock on the door and see if they've seen an entity or anything, but we never have. And why I think it's something to do with my family is because probably the most profound part of this all is that each one of the main like fundamental family members in this story, my mom, my grandma, my grandpa, my aunt, they all died within 3 years of each other to the month.
Wow.
So this cannot be a coincidence. Like, I've shown people their obituaries because they said like, oh, come on, like every 3 years. I said every 3 years, one of them died in like a weird way. And so my oldest aunt died at like 56 from like a disease of the mind that is called Lewy bodies. And like, it's super fucking obscure unless like you know what I'm talking about.
Robin Williams, that's what he died of. And a dear friend of mine died of it also.
Just a couple years ago. It's like so weird because like it affects young people.
Yes. Yeah. My friend was, well, he was in his 60s, but yeah, just a weird kind of dementia.
Yeah. And it basically eats your brain. So
very sad.
It is awful. And to watch them go through it. So she died first, age 56, Lewy body's disease. Then my grandpa died, disease of the mind, 3 years later in November. 3 years later, my grandma dies, dementia, disease of the mind in November. 3 years later, my mom dies. Obscure ass type of cancer that just wouldn't die. They tried everything, surgeries, mastectomies, chemo, radiation, pills, all nothing treated it. It actually grew while she was having the treatment. It grew and it ended up killing her in November. I have the tattoo right here if you don't believe me. 11, 10, 17. But then 3 years later, my youngest aunt dies suddenly. And I won't say how, but she died suddenly. And it's like three, 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 three. They're all dying young. My mom wasn't even 60 yet. And then we do the ancestry DNA thing like I was talking to you about. And we find this birth certificate. My grandma actually had a miscarriage in 1953, 3 years after my oldest aunt was born. So again, three, 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 three. They're all dying in like threes. And it's just so crazy because when I look at like their life, I'm trying to make connections to why this could possibly be happening, why we've experienced so many crazy things. And my sister goes, did you realize that they died in the order they were saved by Jesus Christ? They died in the exact order they were saved. That's crazy. My aunt, my oldest aunt, she was on fire for the Lord. She went down to like this little pop-up tent church and they were just doing like a revival and she got saved. She came back home and my grandpa said, I better not catch you going down there with those kooks again. And she was like, no, I'm on fire. Like, I want you to go with me. So got my grandpa saved. My grandpa took my grandma, got her saved. Then my mom was born. She was saved. Then my youngest aunt was born. She was saved. And they died in that order, exactly 3 years apart.
Very strange.
So, and I've told this story to a lot of people and they've asked me like, what do you think that this means? And I said, for me, I don't know, but all I can tell you is the faith that they had and like how strong my family was in their faith does make me wonder if they weren't trying us because we came from like this bloodline of like healers and nurturing, caring people who just wanted to save people. And it was like they siphoned off all of our energy to the point of death in some cases. And I don't, you know, it's one of those things that it's coming up on 3 years since my aunt died and we're all fucking terrified.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. This November will be 3 years. And my cousin Brooke actually texted us yesterday and she was like, who got saved after my aunt? And my sister goes, me. I was the oldest grandchild. And I said, don't speak that kind of stuff into existence. Like, I don't want to hear you guys talking about who's next. Like, it's fucking Final Destination.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I was just going to say.
Yeah, I was like, I'm hoping, like, we broke that curse, and like it ended with their generation because they're the ones that came from the hauler. They're the ones who had all the magic in their DNA or whatever. I don't know if it passed down to us, but I fucking hope not. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't even go there. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Is there any form of comfort in coming from a spiritual family and like knowing that they're probably in a better place? I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, if your sister's probably pretty young still.
My sister is 18 years older than me.
Yeah.
So she's like the new matriarch of our family because everyone else has passed away. And she's like our spiritual rock now because she's very religious. And I've kind of let that go as I've gotten older because there's so many avenues to explore. It's not that I don't love God or that I don't believe in Jesus. It's just there's so many other things out there that don't make sense about it. I don't believe in church as like a building, but I believe in like the Christ consciousness. And I do have friends, including Whitney Fox. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's a psychic medium. And I asked her to do like a session with me to see if anyone would come through. And the first person, of course, my mom stepped through. We were best friends. And she goes, yeah, your mom. And like she said things no one else could know. No one else could know. And so it did comfort me that she's somewhere and she's watching me and she's proud of me and like looking out for me. And then I talked to M.R. Gorga and it's like, yeah, you know who else would have known all that stuff about your mom? A demon.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
That's why I don't mess around with any of that stuff. No tarot.
And then he says, like, the Bible says very specifically, like, do not contact the dead, do not call up the dead, do not go to soothsayers and conjurers. And I'm like, okay, so you're right. You know who else would have known all that stuff about me and my mom? A demon.
Yeah.
I went to a psychic healer once. I went, it was a group, a small group, and the healer was speaking to another woman who was sitting a couple seats down from me, and the psychic said, hold on, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Evelyn keeps saying me, Evelyn, I have something to say. My mom is Evelyn. And that's exactly what she would have done. And she just burst her way through, according to this healer. And again, like you said, told me things that nobody
else
would
know. Only you and her
would
know. Yeah. And I did find comfort in that because my mom was like emaciated towards the end from all the chemo and like the treatments. And I didn't even want to remember her like that or look at her like that because she was like a skeleton almost. And in the reading, the medium, she goes, yeah, your mom's really funny. She's a lot like you. She says, she turns around and she slaps her butt and she goes, I got a little meat back there now. And I was like, oh my God, like that is like, so my mom, first off, and second off, it's like, she knew that bothered me to like see her like that. So like the thought of her being like vibrant and youthful and like, she's not skinny and emaciated or like sick or and I did find comfort in that. But then the same time, like if you flip the coin, it's like, do you know who else probably knew that I felt like that? Demons know. And like the greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing you that he's not real.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the movie? As Deborah recommends some of the worst horror movies that I've ever seen in my life to me and says that they're good. She's given me one good one. Hereditary. Have you ever seen it?
So good. Mm-hmm.
Terrified me. That's a scary movie. That's like the only new scary movie I've seen in a long, long time. And that's kind of what the plot of that is. She gets tricked by a psychic medium. This evil spirit comes through in the shape of her deceased daughter to empower this death cult to like come to fruition or whatever. I might watch that tonight.
That's
after we're done
movie.
Here. Yeah.
And you know, it all comes back to like what I said in the beginning, where like horror movies can find a little bit of truth in real life and like expand on it and make it theatrical. But like The Exorcist, for example, this could really happen to someone. The Exorcism of Emily Rose, based on a true story. Even movies like The Nightmare on Elm Street is also based on a true story about things getting you in your dreams, based
Yeah.
on a true story. The story for Child's Play, Chucky,
Oh, it's
based on a true story.
Robert the
Robert the
doll.
Doll.
Worst name ever,
Yes.
but
So they take it and they blow it up. They make it theatrical. So you pay money at the box office. You want to see it. You want to get a, you know, thing of popcorn and like go and watch a movie. But it's because anything that you can conjure up in your mind has roots in reality, or else you wouldn't be able to fabricate it. So it's like, unless you have a basis to go on, where is this stuff coming from? It probably really fucking happened to some poor family, and you've like taken it, twisted it a little bit, and made it like oh, it's a horror movie. But
yeah.
it's really happening to people. Like Ed and Lorraine Warren, The Conjuring, The Nun, Annabelle, they base those movies off of actual real life cases, paranormal activity happening to people.
You've done stuff on Ed and Lorraine Warren, right?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't listened to your shows about that. What do you think?
I think that they started with true intentions of helping people out with like poltergeist, paranormal activity, demonic, and then the fame kind of got to their head a little bit. They had their own like late night talk show, and
Really? Was it
they were
on like
on.
cable access or?
Yeah, it was really goofy and corny and weird, but they were
And
on like magazine covers, and they went on the news for the Amityville horror case. They were on the news, and then a movie came out. That was the first movie that ever came out after one of their investigations, and I feel like it kind of
that's
twisted it
Amityville
a
Horror.
little. Yes, that
Yeah.
was the first movie that came out after one of their cases. And I do think that maybe they got a little money hungry and started making some shit up.
Yeah.
I do think that's part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because suburban white women eat this stuff up,
Oh, they're
you
suckers.
know.
I love
I love
it. Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting though, because if I recall correctly, the Warrens weren't part of the Amityville movie. They
No.
didn't.
Very interesting, huh? They did write a book about it, though. So they wrote a book about almost every case that they ever did, including, I don't know if you've seen this one, Deborah, The Haunting in Connecticut.
Oh, of course I've seen it. Of
Ed and
course I've
Lorraine
seen it.
Warren.
Okay,
Yes, that was one of their cases.
the son with cancer who,
Yes. Which
Is that a good
again,
one, Deborah? Should I watch
well, you know me, I love all
it?
of them, so.
I'm gonna give it out of 5 stars. I'll give it 4 stars. It was
Yeah.
really, really, really good.
There's a movie, and I'm racking my brain, and I'm gonna kick myself because I can't think of the name of it. It takes place in a holler.
Is it paranormal?
That's, I mean, it is about the paranormal. A woman, it's going to come to me before the end of it. And before we finish talking, I'll give you the name of it. And if I can't find it, I'll Google it. But it's somewhere stuck in my brain. And it's about a healer in the holler and
Oh my God, they
paranormal.
wrote a freaking movie about my family. Getting all the money and we're just over here broke.
The funniest part about the Annabelle case is that it's in the movies, it's this like pristine, intricate porcelain doll or whatever, and it's really just a Raggedy
A
Ann doll.
Raggedy Ann.
Raggedy Ann with their
Fucking little button eyes. That's scarier. They should have left it Raggedy
I
Ann.
know it is scary because I mean I grew up in the 80s. My sister had that stuff, you know.
I grew up in the 50s. I had it.
Yeah, I
I had a
mean,
Raggedy Ann. I begged for one.
we all had
I might
Raggedy
have
Ann,
had
I
to
think.
dress up as Raggedy Andy for Halloween once, you know, as a small boy. But I don't know. There might be pictures out there of it.
So. A lot of people, though, they say like paranormal activity, even if they can't explain what it is, they'll go to the point where they say, I don't even know if it's real. And that's a good point. I don't know if it's ghosts, because even if we see something apparition, something moves across the table, how do we know that's a dead person and yeah. not a demon? How do we know that when we see an old hotel owner walking around the hotel, that this is a dead person and not a demon? Because if you believe in angels and you believe in God, you also have to believe that there are demons and devils.
Yeah. I mean, I believe all that stuff now. I mean, I live close to, you know, Portland, Oregon. If you go downtown, like, that's all there's demonic spirits down there. It's a bad, bad place, you know. Like, I mean, if 2020 didn't prove it to you that there's evil spirits out there, like, yeah.
And that they can be called upon.
Yep. Yeah, activated.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like you go down to any of these big cities where there's like big homeless populations, and man, it really seems like there's something going on. Like the days of like the big nosed hobo alcoholic bum are gone. It's crazy, crazy evil spirits down there. It seems like it's really, really weird.
And think about it this way, if it makes it easier for you, there's like a spirit attached to everything that we do in life. And our actions dictate what type of spirits that we encounter. And if you talk about like M.R. Gorga, he talks about pharmaceuticals have a spirit attached to them. Alcohol is called spirits for a reason. We can even talk about how meth heads are
meth.
Open vessels for walk-in demon possession. Now, this is an easy example of, oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. They'll agree with me about that. But then I'll say, you know, there's also angels, and you can do certain things in your life to be closer to angelic spirits. And then you can do certain things in your life. Maybe you're doing some demonic shit and you don't even know it. And they've convoluted our society so much that we don't know most of the time that we are doing demonic activities. Music videos, movies, the food that we eat, everything we consume,
pornography has
a spirit. Yes, pornography. Mm-hmm. That's why when you watch some of these music videos, you are welcoming this stuff in. The imagery, the actors themselves that they choose to be in these movies, it's like, why did they always pick Leonardo DiCaprio? Well, because he's into this shit. You welcome it in by watching it, and you love it. You love him. You idolize him. Just like Laurel Canyon, the music that we listen to, you're welcoming it in. And then you wonder why our lives are so fucked up. We have all these diseases. We've let it happen.
Yeah.
So how do you combat that?
Get right with God, Deborah.
You get right with God, and you also listen to conspiracy theory podcasts. Because if you want all the biscuits and gravy, you need to start listening to Dangerous World Podcast, Deborah Gets Red Pilled, Cosmic Beach Podcast. I mean, there's a million of us out here. Literally, you don't even have to be a Christian, but we're out here doing God's work, if you want to call it that. You don't even have to believe in the Bible or Christianity. I know a lot of people are, I don't want to trigger anyone, but we're out here exposing darkness, and that's really all you can do. Because if you wake enough people up to that, they might not accept it right away, but months later, weeks later, they'll see something and they'll go, I fucking heard that on a podcast, and there it is. Pedophile symbols. This new Jeffrey Dahmer documentary on Netflix? Have you seen that?
I'm sorry to say I have.
I've watched
I
every
watch
episode.
I
Me
watched
too.
this half of the first one.
Yeah.
Got a little uncomfortable for me. It's just
Yeah.
creepy. Yeah. What
Well,
what's
it's
your
a
thoughts?
demon attached with that show. What they want to do is traumatize you over and over and over and over again. They love traumatizing people. The way that Jeffrey Dahmer cannibalized his victims and
Yeah.
the sexual necrophiliac stuff that he did, two of them were 14, by the way, not one, two of them were
Two.
14. So
Yeah.
we have pedophilic, necrophilic, cannibalistic, psycho murderer. And you know what we do? We put it on in our home and watch it over and over and over. Ted Bundy tapes, Jeffrey Dahmer tapes, Dahmer movie, Dahmer show on Netflix. Dahmer, they love traumatizing you and desensitizing you so that they're showing you what they like, their idols. That's why Tony Podesta has a golden sculpture of one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims in his house.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
Really?
Deborah,
They're showing you,
I
Deborah,
mean, you know
what they
about the
like.
Podesta's art, Deborah, but you didn't know
Yeah,
about that part.
but I
You just
didn't
knew
know
about
about
like the
that.
creepy, like demonic children pig things.
Shit.
Just next time you scroll through Netflix, you watch all those crappy horror movies,
I love them.
pay attention to how much of it involves ingesting blood.
Yeah, or demonic possession, something like that. Or even a lot of the stuff that they have on Netflix right now is such an inversion of beauty and natural things that you are completely desensitized to seeing horrific images on your screen. Let's say that I was a huge fan of, like, Da Vinci. Let's say I'm a huge fan of Da Vinci. I love the Mona Lisa. I love Madonna of the Rocks. I love beautiful classic works of art. I might go and buy like a copy of Madonna on the Rocks and put it in my dining room or something and be like, wow, this was such a beautiful piece of art. That's how they feel about Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer. They're admirers of them. Cannibalism, rape, murder, pedophilic, chopping bodies up, just disgusting abominations of humanity, and they adore it. That's why they have all this art, this dark stuff. It's like a fantasy for them. And God knows they're probably really doing this stuff, and we don't know about it.
Yeah.
So, there's a reason why I think conspiracy theory podcasters are really at the tip of the spear when it comes to a lot of this, because on my show, I try to ease people into the water a little bit in case they haven't heard anything like this before. You don't want to shock them to death and then have them thinking that you're a kook. But at the same time, you don't want to like pussyfoot around because we're talking about murder, death, destruction of humanity. So the more people you can get on board, I feel like the better off we'll be in the long run.
So everything that, horror movies or whatever are all an influence of some sort of evil entity. And my enjoying watching them is opening me up to that evil entity.
It could, but this is what I'll say about that because I also enjoy Halloween, as we talked about at the beginning of the episode. It's very sentimental to me because me and my mom loved watching horror movies and eating popcorn, turning all the lights off, and having like a spooky sleepover party. So that'll never change for me. I'll always watch the classics, Halloween and Mike Myers, and like I'm always going to watch horror movies. But there's a difference between watching them completely oblivious and ignorant, and watching them with a sense of discernment. And maybe you think in the back of your mind, like, I know they're programming me. Like, I know what they're trying to do, but I'm aware of it. Maybe you say a prayer like, God, please put up the spiritual hedge of protection about me watching this movie or something. It's not that you can't enjoy things in life. You got to sit in your room and lock the door and pray all day. Obviously, that's not realistic. You can't do that. You have to enjoy life and live life, because even if watching a horror movie brings you a little bit of joy, I'd rather you be in a joyful state than like a freaked out, scared state. But it's just about a level of understanding and being vigilant, looking for it, watching for the signs. You don't want to be asleep when they hit you with stuff like this. You want to look for it and be able to be like, okay, I can see what they're trying to do, and I'm hip to their shit.
Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse, Deborah, when it happens, because eventually you can't watch anything and just enjoy it barely, you know. Deborah, you had a did you have a experience that you wanted to tell Julie about, or did you already get it
Well,
out?
it's kind of off topic, but my sister lived in an apartment in San Francisco, and it was a basement apartment.
This is a good story
Oh, have I already told you this?
about the zebra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an old Victorian house, and you can walk in the front door and go upstairs, or you can go down a little bit and get to my sister's apartment, or you can go around the side of the building, and there was her own private entrance into this basement apartment. It was somewhat subterranean. The windows, that would be at this level inside, were
Buried windows, we all know about
okay, buried windows.
them.
So she wakes up. Okay, I've spent the night at her house, and there is something going on there. The basement apartment was originally just a basement, and they just put up walls, but they're not weight-bearing walls. There's no pipes in the walls. It's just room dividers. And in the middle of the night, you'll hear ba-boom, boom. And then you'll hear over there, ba-boom, boom. And I was there. I heard it myself. I witnessed it myself. It was repetitive. And okay, so there's some kind of spirit here. And at one point, she felt very much like it was a male and female entity. She felt them sit on her bed. She felt them, stroking her hair,
Oh my
comforting.
God.
She didn't feel afraid. Kind of separate from that, one night she wakes up in the middle of the night. And she hears something, and she goes out into the living room of this big apartment, and figures, okay, she turns on the light, nothing's amiss, must have just been the wind. So she goes back to bed and goes back to sleep, and then she hears something again, and she knows it's not the wind. And she goes out into the living room, and she flips on the light, and she had a bookshelf right in front of the window. All the plants and the books from the top of the shelf had been placed on the floor. It was leaded windows that had been meticulously hammered out. And there were, I'm not positive about this, but I believe there were footprints in her living room on the carpet. But because there was the back entrance and the front entrance, she ran out the front to the lobby of the building and ran upstairs and knocked on somebody's door, and they wouldn't let her in, but they did call the police. It was like 3 or 4 in the morning. I lived just around the corner, so when the police arrived, they came to get me so she wouldn't have to stay alone in this place overnight. And the next day, the FBI came and were
What?
doing fingerprints and whatnot. This was back in the Like around 1975. Yeah, 75.
So
And
they thought it was an intruder.
they said it was the zebra killer, who was a serial
No.
killer here.
Have you ever heard of the zebra killer?
No, what is this?
Well, this is back in the good old days when they could call serial killers the zebra killer. They called him that because it was a black guy killing white women.
Oh, that's despicable, first off. And second, what the fuck?
So she, the next morning, came to my house and moved all her stuff into my apartment and never went back, found another place to move to.
Was there confirmation that it was him, like through the fingerprints and the similarities to the other cases?
Yep.
So why didn't he kill her? What happened?
She ran out.
Oh, she
So
ran out.
is it thought that he was like in there with her?
I'm not sure. I don't remember that.
Because he had
But
gotten into the apartment.
he'd gotten into the apartment and she chose to go out the lobby instead of.
She made
Because
the
there
right
was
choice.
multiple entrances.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So if she'd gone,
If she'd gone the other way,
there might be no
he
Aunt
might have been
Christie.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
maybe he
mean,
was
talk
trying
about a
to.
real life boogeyman.
And they
Richard
still.
Ramirez, like all of these, they get you at night. And
Yeah.
I mean,
Well,
if you want to.
this was the same time that what was the guy, Zodiac
Oh,
was,
Zodiac. Yeah, Zodiac, yeah.
Zodiac was in the Bay Area at the same time.
You know, they could have made up the zebra character and it could have all been Zodiac
Yeah.
murders, to be
Yeah,
honest with you. Could
Yeah,
have,
for
because they
sure.
don't know who the zebra was and they're not sure who the Zodiac was. There's
Well, and it could be
theories.
two of in the same because, or one in the same because a lot of the times you see like they try to pin it on like a black guy or something, you know,
Or
they'll be like, oh, it's this.
David Berkowitz. I mean, he was just the fall guy for like a huge satanic cult out of Yonkers, New York, you know?
Yeah,
That,
yeah.
yeah,
A
we
lot of
did.
these serial killers are devil worshipers. Jeffrey Dahmer being another one. He was going to build
Yeah.
an altar. It got him off watching The Exorcist 3. Now,
Do they
see,
show that in that series?
they
Yes, they
make
do.
mention of it. Yeah. They
Okay.
show him watching The Exorcist and they make mention
He
of
liked
the
specifically,
altar.
he liked The Exorcist Part
Exorcist
Three. I've
3,
never
Part
seen
3.
Part Three. I don't know if I've seen even Part Two.
Well, think about it like this, just to go back to what Deborah was saying about is everything I watch like opening me up? Look at Jeffrey Dahmer. He couldn't hunt a victim unless he watched The Exorcist 3 and it got him sexually aroused. And it was only The Exorcist Part 3. And I have a clip on my phone that I was going to post on Instagram of him talking about how watching The Exorcist 3 made him sexually aroused. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why people had heart attacks when they watched the first Exorcist movie and they had to carry him out on gurneys. People were passing out of shock. And then 3 months later, after The Exorcist makes its debut on screen, Ed and Lorraine Warren become famous for this Lindley Street house investigation where the girl is flying across the room and there's like all this demonic activity going on in this house. And
Was that the place in England?
it was not, it was
Oh, okay.
actually in the United States. It was on the news. They had firefighters and police officers go into the house and watch refrigerators move across the room and like books fly off the shelf, recliners opening and closing themselves. And there was like this pinnacle where we were really, really, really focused on Ed and Lorraine Warren and like these exorcism movies and the demonic. And in the years that Ed and Lorraine Warren were at the top of their game, Ouija boards sold off the shelves. They couldn't keep them in stock. People were buying them up because all you have to do is release a movie like The Exorcist and pique everyone's interest, and then you've just welcomed demons all up into your house. This is dangerous. That's why I say everything we consume, it's on purpose. So if you're going to watch something like that, and I don't know if you're religious, Deborah, but you might just say, like, put up the spiritual hedge of protection so that I can discern what I'm watching, but you don't have to end your life over it. You know what I'm saying? You can still watch Halloween on Halloween. Just know that it's very intentional what they do.
I'm still listening to
Sheesh.
Slayer. You know, I'm not gonna stop that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
You can still enjoy
I'm just not
stuff.
gonna smoke meth and break into people's houses after I listen to some speed metal like Richard Ramirez was doing, you know.
Oh my God.
Um,
That was a
so
scary guy, Richard Ramirez.
yeah. Julio, we've had you for a long time. This has been fantastic. You want to tell everybody what do you got planned for coming up in October here?
Yes, I have the Cosmic Peach Podcast Spooktacular, and I'm gonna actually send you some episodes to send to Deborah because I feel like she will very much appreciate and enjoy these. A lot of people have asked me if it's just about ghost stuff, and it's not. What kind of spooktacular would I be putting on if I didn't talk about demons, ghosts, like wicked witches, witchcraft, Salem? I've got it all. And it's coming out. The entire month of October is dedicated to all things spooky and creepy. And, I just want to tell the listeners where they can go to get their minds blown. That's going to be Amazon, Google. Let's see what else. Apple, Spotify, Audible, wherever you listen to your podcasts, Cosmic Peach, I'll be ready for you.
You're on Podverse too. That's a podcasting 2.0 one that I like to push.
Oh,
So,
awesome. Yeah. See, I didn't even know.
yeah. So yeah, you've got what, 30 something episodes, and they're, yeah, like you said, they cover the whole spectrum, and it's fun stuff. And then I can't recommend your latest episode, or not latest episode, but the most recent one you did with Ryan. That was great. A lot of fun.
Coral Canyon.
And yeah, you just seem like such a fun, happy person with such a great at no, not the Laurel Canyon one, the fast food one.
Oh, the fast food. Oh my God,
Yeah.
you want to talk about some trashy shit? Go
Yeah,
listen to
but
that one.
it's good. And I just you have such a positive, yeah, I mean, outlook on life. I don't wanna jump to any conclusions about your life, but you sound like, you had it a little bit rough sometimes, and you really made the best of it, and you've turned
Thank
out
you.
fantastic. And yeah, we love listening to your show. I want everybody to go check you out. And yeah, we want to talk to you again in the future about some other weird stuff. We'll talk to you about flat
Period.
Deborah's a flat earther, so
Yes. Anytime. I'm
yeah,
down.
right on. So yeah, Cosmic Peach Podcast, guys, October spooktacular. Anything else?
I'm on Instagram, cosmic.peach.podcast. I post pictures and videos of all my episodes of the content I'm talking about so you can get a visual essence of what we discuss in the episode. But thank you for having me on. I really
Thank
appreciate
you.
it.
Thank you.
And it
This
was
was
great to meet you,
fascinating.
Deborah.
Really good to meet you. I look forward to doing this again with you.
Me
Right
too.
on. All right, guys. Happy Halloween early,
Happy.
and
Yeah.
we'll talk to you soon. So thanks a lot, Julia. We'll talk to you as well. Peace, guys. Love you all. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people. All those black babies, fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots, playing God all day, deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites, Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap, and you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.